And welcome back to the Retail Maverick Show Uncut. And you can probably hear in the background Fieldworks, who do the PR for the show, having a great time. Thank you, Sarah. Anyway, quick shout out to our sponsors, The Industrious. Thank you so much for your support. The Industrious, we elevate your brand. And actually, along with my special guest, who I'll introduce in a second, we've also got the president of the Industrious here, Andy Austin. Just say hi briefly, Andy.
Well, very happy to be here at the Retail Technology Show in London, taking a look at how technology can enhance customers' conversations with retail brands. But I'm excited about who's sitting here next to us.
Yeah, so without further ado, so we've just actually come out of his session. He's the MD for UK and Ireland for Swarovski. It's Craig Ash. Craig, welcome.
Hi. It's great to be here. Great to see you again, Andrew. And privileged to come and talk about all things omnichannel customer experience and come into this melting pot of ideas and vendors and retailers.
So yeah, it was a great session. Let's talk about maybe omnichannel and what it means for you, what it means for Swarovski, because you were talking about online, offline. It's not that. It's channel agnostic. What does omnichannel mean for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's not really a new topic about, you know, brands needing to deliver a channel agnostic experience. I think for ourselves, it's about our customer just sees the brand. They just see Swarovski, regardless of the channel, and we need to make it as easy as possible. I guess omnichannel is about making it as easy as possible for your customer to be able to purchase what they want, when they want, and how they want, really. And I think omnichannel, you know, 10 years ago, it was literally about just online and offline. I think the meaning of omnichannel is also evolving. You know, there's obviously social commerce now. We're moving into the world of the metaverse. And, you know, I think actually the definition of omnichannel will continue to change, but it's ultimately about customers just having a frictionless experience regardless of the channel that they shop with your brand in.
Yeah, no, that's good. So talking about your brand, it's you're referring to it as a luxury. Absolutely. Everybody, I think, you know, that Swarovski doesn't need any introduction for people. But let's talk a little bit about why it's so important. So you're talking about this when you're on stage earlier. Why is it so important for you to know your customers?
I think for us, it's absolutely critical because, you know, our omnichannel vision is to really be able to provide our customers with a personalized shopping experience. And the more that we can equip our sales consultants and our teams with knowledge of what the customer wants, the better equipped we are then to deliver on their expectations. And our overriding global strategy is called Lux Ignite. And one of the two of the key pillars on that probably need no explanation. Product is king and customer is queen. And I think whilst omnichannel flows across all of our strategic pillars, the one that makes or breaks us is customer is queen. It really, really does.
Yeah. Andy, I don't know if you want to...
I'd like to chase that a little bit because customers have individual desires. They have events where Swarovski product means something to them. They went to an evening event and they looked fantastic and they were wearing their product. Or they're looking forward to a life event. And they want to have these conversations with your brand. And you call them queens for a reason. You are taking a persona, an actual human being, and bring them into the Swarovski universe and the Swarovski experience that you're going to provide in this omni-channel experience. How critical is arming the salesperson? And how do you make the salesperson really understand this is a human being that wants to love the moments that Swarovski makes for them?
Yeah, I think it's a really, really important point because the technology piece is only part of the puzzle. And we've launched various omnichannel initiatives over the last few years, you know, ranging from tablet-assisted selling to clienteling apps, etc. And if you launch something across 100 stores, you always find that, you know, you'll have 10 or 20 stores that knock it out of the park on the metrics. You'll have 10 to 20 stores that don't do so well and everyone else in the middle. It's exactly the same technology. It's exactly the same concept. They're serving, by and large, the same customers. The biggest difference is the human. The biggest difference is the level of engagement, understanding, knowledge of the team within that. And I think ultimately, the secret to success going forward is really, how do we use technology, whether it be AI, whether it be any other innovations, to equip the human better? Because it's ultimately the human that drives a brand forward. It's not the technology in itself. It's the human that makes that decision on what they adopt and what they don't adopt. And the better we can equip that 20-hour sales consultant to be able to advise and explain. And our product isn't straightforward. You know, we're proud of our product because it has remarkable complications.
Right.
You know, it's beautiful, creative jewelry or myriad pieces. And to explain that to a gift buyer can be tricky. So, you know, when we come up to Valentine's Day, when you come up to Christmas, which are massive peaks for us, a lot of people are buying it as self-purchasers, but there's a whole bunch of people buying it for other people too.
Right.
So to say that our sales consultants have to be absolute experts both in the product, but also very knowledgeable about their customer, I think is really, really important. I think I mentioned in my presentation, when we clientele a customer, the value per transaction is 2.5 times greater than a non-clientele customer. So when a staff member has that personal relationship, they know the customer's preferences, purchase history, interests, etc., of course they can then deliver a much more personalized experience.
When you are able to uplift things like what you just mentioned, also product suite, available SKUs, inventory, when you're able to uplift that from the shoulder of the salesperson, now you can smile, make eye contact, and have a two-way conversation. That's also part of why you're getting a 2.5 better.
Totally. And I think things like even using a tablet to support sales consultants in making recommendations to customers. Again, our people can't be computers. They can't store that an inordinate amount of knowledge.
Well, you don't want,
right? We don't want that. We want them to be that human connection, you know, to bring the brand to life. That's what's really, really important. And yeah, that's a key example, I think, of how technology can really enable that human connection to shine even brighter.
And remember, when consumers are paying £4 a liter in petrol to come to your store, they're not coming to talk to a computer.
Yeah.
They're coming to talk to a human being, but the technology is enhancing that conversation, allowing the human to be a better human.
Exactly. And I think I'm a true believer that, you know, people love coming shopping, and most people like being served by other humans.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it special. You know, we have a thriving online business, and it's really, really important, but there's still 70% of our sales that are still generated from bricks and mortar stores. And bear in mind, we operate relatively small stores, so you can't always fit in our full ranges. So again, the whole concept of omnichannel and how we can use things like tablet-assisted selling to offer an endless aisle service effectively to a customer is really key, because we're best known for our jewelry, but ultimately we crystallize designer bags, designer clothes. Anything you can mention, we can crystallize it. We have a fantastic sunglasses range, but our stores aren't big enough to house all of that range. So, yeah, this concept of having a human bring that to life to a customer in a store and enable online sales from a retail setting, again, is really, really successful for us.
Yeah. I feel like I'm an imposter here, just eavesdropping on this conversation between Andy and Craig. So maybe we'll just let them both carry on. But one thing I was going to ask there, Craig, about your customers. So they walk in the store, they may think they know what they're going to buy for their partner or whoever it happens to be, for birthday, Valentine's, etc. But perhaps they see something else. That is that a typical scenario where somebody comes in and they think that they know, but then you've got a sales associate who has a conversation with them and they end up buying something completely different? Perhaps it's an upsell as well. And does that sort of scenario happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think every customer needs to be treated as an individual, and you'll have people come into our stores who have done a lot of research online. They know exactly what they want. They'll come in with their phones. They'll show. I mean, the intelligent gift buyers will have actually got specific direction. So they'll come in with a picture and shows exactly what they want. But then equally, you have the other side of the spectrum. You have browsers come in who have no idea what jewelry they want to buy. The person that they're buying a gift for.
Yeah.
But then, you know, equally, we have a big home and figurine business as well, where we have people who are avid collectors. Every year, we release a limited edition piece that's only available for people who are members of our Swarovski. A Swarovski club. So effectively, these people are almost fanatical about and big collectors. So they have very specific needs. So I guess my point is that every customer has very, very different needs. And I think staff have to be, our team of sales consultants have to be so agile to be able to cater for that versus a fanatical Swarovski crystal collector due to a husband buying a present that he's got no idea what he's going to buy his wife at Christmas, right through to a self-purchaser, a 25-year-old who is into luxury brands, loves fashion, and actually wants to treat herself. So there's a whole wide spectrum, but yeah, it just comes down to being able to offer as agile CX experience as possible.
You're absolutely right, because This is the number one quandary of a salesperson. Every time you greet a customer, you have no idea where on the spectrum that customer is. And there are many instances, if it's one of your Swarovski fans, fan queens, that she may know a lot more about what she's looking for than the salesperson. Knowing that there's a piece of technology there that's going to allow me to be more expert in front of every shopper, no matter where they are on the spectrum, is what you've enabled your salespeople to do.
Exactly. And again, I think there's a familiarity piece as well. It's around, if you're coming into the store and you're being served by me, and then I'm then reaching out to you to let you know that when product that you love comes back in the store, that triggers a conversation. And then you come in and we meet and you may have a glass of champagne and sit down and we do a whole styling appointment around that product. And it's about making the customer feel really, really special. But you can only do that if you know their preferences.
Right? We've got a couple of minutes left because, as we know, the Retail Maverick show is just 15 minutes because, let's face it, who's got time to listen to an hour-long podcast these days? So in the last couple of minutes, you talked in your session a little bit about Store of the Future. And it was quite an interesting point you made about the Store of the Future back in 2014. Versus the Store of the Future 2024. Where do you see, and maybe we can go, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, not 10, because who knows, 3 to 5, where do you see, or how do you see your stores evolving over the coming years? What can you share with us about that?
Yes, I think Store of the Future is an interesting concept, and I kind of said in my presentation, if you look at the general high street in 2014 to now, it's relatively the same. You know, I think it's easy to sit here and think, oh, we're all going to be walking around showrooms with robots and virtual reality. But I think the changes are going to be more subtle than that. I think if I'm looking in 5 years' time, I think probably the changes, again, will still be relatively subtle because I think it takes time for new technologies to evolve. I can see augmented reality playing a greater role. Devices we were chatting earlier about, things like Apple Vision Pro, similar devices as they become more mainstream, I can see that playing a larger role. I think the metaverse is a really interesting concept, I think, in context to omnichannel. And I think we've got to be careful that is the glue that brings all of the channels together rather than goes off on tangents. If I'm looking five years into the future at our stores, I think you're going to walk in. I think people are still going to want to see exceptional physical products. I think they're going to want to interact with warm, knowledgeable, friendly sales consultants. And they're going to want to say, I think that the red threads will be the same. customers want to be excited by a brand, right? You want to walk in, and retail isn't rocket science. And if you can deliver exceptional product delivered by exceptional people, and technology is moving the friction points of what that experience feels like, then I think you're going to win.
I think that is a brilliant way. That's absolutely spot on time. So a brilliant way to end. So this has been the Retail Maverick Show at the Retail Technology Show. Thank you so much, Craig Ash.
Pleasure.
And thank you so much, Andy Austin.